Hello and welcome to Folklore in the Field, the occasional bonus mini-episodes of the Folklore Podcast recorded out in the real world. This interview is the second of three which were recorded at the International Society for Contemporary Legend Research Anniversary Conference in Sheffield. Once again, I'm joined by Perry Carpenter from the Digital Folklore Podcast, and in this interview, we learn about the traditional folklore, creatures, and beliefs of Iceland and Sweden. So we are reconvened back around a table again, and this time, to avoid the embarrassment of pronunciation issues, I'm going to ask our two guests to introduce themselves, because there are more complexities than with the guests that we had previously. So first off, Gunnella, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Gunnella Þorgeirsdóttir, and you don't need to memorize the surname because it's a patronym, it's not the proper surname, family name.
Thank you. Tommy.
Yeah, I'm Tommy Kosola, from a folklorist and historian of religion from Sweden.
So we have Iceland and Sweden represented at this particular roundtable discussion, and what we thought we'd cover are the kind of the strong folkloric creatures and themes of each of those countries and how they compare to each other. So let's go ladies first. So Gunnella, what do you consider to be the main folkloric themes, creatures, ideas in Iceland?
I would have to say definitely the hidden people. The hidden people, they don't like to be called elves, but it's probably reclassified as such. Tend to be taller, more majestic than the average human, so no little beings. And they reside in mountains and in huge rocks. And they interact with humans occasionally, mostly in order to borrow something made out of steel, because they can't work with steel. And human midwives are very handy. What's one of my favorite thing about them, though, is how the legends tend to change. So you have similar legends in Norway. However, for instance, in Norway, it's a man that gets lured into the mountains, disappears for a year, comes back saying he's been with the hidden people. In Iceland, it's a woman who goes gets lured away, comes back pregnant, and has had a fling with a person of a hidden variety.
Okay.
Tommy, how does that compare to your country?
It's very similar, actually. We have different names depending on where in Sweden you are. For example, in the northern part of Sweden, we call it Vitra. And in the southern part, it's Vette. And both of those words derive from an old Norse word called Vette. So it's just how they say the word differently in the north and the south. It's also quite similar to the Norwegian idea of Huldrefolk. So it's a kind of a collective group of beings, supernatural beings, living close to human beings, underground. Sometimes they can be called underdwellers or something like that. Hidden people, actually, in a way. And they sometimes interact with human beings. They are, for the most part, invisible. In southern parts of Sweden, they are usually thought of as quite small. But in the northern part, they are in stature like human beings. And they can be beautiful, they can be ugly, it can be everything that human beings are in a way. So they are, in a way, a reflection of ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. What's interesting with the Huldrefolk is that, sort of, first of all, Huldrefolk is also a term, so that that's the same origin, obviously. Very often, historically, they would look like they were one generation past and looking very regal. Now, due to artistic renditions in the 18th, 19th century, nowadays they always look very old-fashioned and wearing the national costume. So it's interesting how the image has changed with the publicizing of the beliefs.
Have there been changes as well, do you think, due to migration between the countries in your area? So looking at kind of Scandinavia, northern countries as a whole, has there been influence from one to another, or do you think that your country's folklore is still very distinctive?
That's a quite hard question to answer in a way. But see, we have a common common roots are obviously from the what we call the Viking Age, because Iceland were colonized by many people from Scandinavia, and they brought with them stories and ideas, notions about nature beings and things like that, which took its own form in a way in Iceland. But Scandinavia is quite a big place. If you compare the like Denmark, which borders to Germany, and the northern parts of Sweden and Norway, they are high up, so to speak, past the what we call polar circle.
Yep.
So, and also you have this in northern parts, at least you have the Sami population, the Finnish population. So everything is like intermingled in a way. Even the legends can.
I would definitely agree with it. So sort of, I think the originating part, sort of around the year 1000, we've had the same cultures. I think one of the defining parts of Icelandic ones is that a lot of the folklore from Scandinavia was based on the history of living there. For instance, the tumuli of Viking chiefs and things like that, with areas which you associated with. Whereas when the settlers came to Iceland, there was no pre-settlement. So the only thing you could see were the rocks or the huge stones. Consequently, it made sense, I think, to associate them with the nature creatures or the, yeah, the power creatures living in the country before.
I was going to, for either of you that may have seen something, have you seen an influence on your folklore that's been caused by or fueled by the internet? Give an example.
Okay, so definitely in Iceland, there is this image now which is works very well for tourists and was very well documented in Will Ferrell's Eurovision movie. About the hidden people being tiny, living in tiny houses and being these tiny creatures, still capable of providing luck or unluck. But the image is just so very, very wrong. And it's definitely internet propagated.
I would say something, maybe it's nature as an enchanted place is something that it's played on by social media and movies and things like that. Sweden is not very good at making movies based on folklore. Norway are. They've done, for example, this Troll Hunters, which is a fantastic movie based on conspiracy theories and contemporary society. And also there's like a hidden troll nation in Norway, which is the government tries to hide from people. I love that one.
I love it.
That sounds super cool.
And everywhere, yeah. Norway, for example, and same thing in Iceland and also in Denmark, you can see trolls. Trolls everywhere.
Yeah, I was just thinking the Finnish Christmas movie, where you have, what's it called?
Rare Exports.
Yeah, Rare Exports. That was excellent. Just pure folklore, but very raw and very sort of point on.
Nice.
And they also had this, Norway also had this Tale, which is the name of female forest spirit in a way, which has been subdued to experiments by a crazy Swedish scientist found it in contemporary times. So this is she's a huldra, they call it a huldra. Yeah. So yeah, that's also a lovely movie actually.
What is the level of belief, if that's the right term to use, and it's difficult to find the right terminology these days? You know, lots of people, when we talk about these kinds of creatures, think, well, yeah, that's kind of rooted in the rural, uneducated 18th, 19th century life, and nobody believes in these things these days. But at the same time, there are pockets of modern belief, and then sitting alongside that, there are these problems where you get these news reports about a road being diverted so that it doesn't go through what might be a protected piece of land, which is connected to these stories. And then everybody instantly goes, well, yes, it's because they all believe. How do we draw the distinctions there?
If I may make an example, the easiest example I make is when I'm starting class and I ask how many people in class, how many of you believe in the huldufólk, the hidden people? And maybe one person raises their hand, or maybe someone tells a story of the grandparents or something like that. Then I ask, okay, so you just bought a new house, you're planning on putting a hot tub in the back garden, but there's a huge rock in the way. You're about to move the rock when a neighbor taps on your shoulder and points out that it's actually a Hultefolkstein. So what do you do? Everyone, without exception in the class, will say, I'll put the hot tub over there. So it's not belief, but it's not disbelief either.
They don't want to tempt fate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's highly illogical to tempt something like that.
Yeah. How about in Sweden?
I think it's Swedes tend to think of themselves as we're rational, modern in a way. But you still find this kind of belief lingering on. There's something very similar to this with the Hultefolk and the hidden people living in rocks. Mm-hmm. I wrote an article about this a couple of years ago. There was a highway in Sweden. When they laid out the highway, it went past a kind of mountainous area called Skarvberget. And there's a lot of traffic accidents happening on this little piece of road there, very close to this place. And there is a local explanation, it's because it was built on the ground of the Vitra. Ah. Same thing as you find in Iceland or on Ireland or different places. So it's still in contemporary Sweden something that you can find. And I'm also around the country, I've been everywhere actually in Sweden giving lectures, and I always meet people have their own stories about Tomte, which is like a farmstead spirit, or they met, even I've heard someone said in front of 100 people that she's seen a troll and wanted me to explain things about that. But,
yeah. Okay. Well, I have to admit, I regularly refer to the gremlins or the cheeky ones in my home who inevitably borrow exactly the things that the Hultefolk would tend to borrow, the scissors or a knife if you're working on something. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think this is in the zone of this half belief or gray zone. It depends on the context, if they believe or not believe. And also you have some kind of places. We have the Great Lake Monster in the northern part of Sweden, which is similar to Nessie in a way, but it's known from the 1600s. There's the northernmost runestone in Sweden is connected to a legend about this monster there. But this lake, I've met many people who still have their own experiences from that lake, even today. So,
okay.
And it would be, I mean, if someone would be swimming there or feeling something that's some kind of horror, kind of, not some kind of feeling, something that's strange, they would immediately associate it with the monster.
What's the status of folklore and folklore collecting in your countries? I mean, Tommy, for example, you work in the archives at Uppsala, so you have a very good collection there.
And
is that still added to now?
Yes, actually, there are several folklore archives in Sweden, which there are all around the Scandinavian countries. But we still continue even today. Just a couple of years ago, I did a questionnaire about ghosts and haunted places. So it's something that we still add to the collections, even though it's been around for more than 100 years.
Excellent.
Same in Iceland. Yeah. So we have the questionnaires that have been going on for over 100 years, and these have all been put into format.
Digitized,
that's the one. and are easily available, as well as all the various collections that by individual institutions.
I think we've got lessons to learn, haven't we, Perry, from our countries as to how to do things properly.
I think so, yeah. Keeping the discipline to do anything for 100 years in the US with consistency is not something we have.
Excellent. Thank you both very much for taking the time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Our thanks go to Tommy and Gunella for taking time out of their lunch break to sit down and chat with us. You'll find links on the Folklore Podcast website for this bonus episode to online spaces where you can learn more about the work of our guests. I'll be back soon with the next full-length episode of the Folklore Podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you then.